Good morning, good afternoon, and good evening to all our listeners. This is the Business Day Spotlight, your destination for African business made simple. My name is Mdio Gavaza of the Business Day and Financial Mail. And for today, because we're still inside the coronavirus outbreak and all of its fears, and about a day or so before getting into the shutdown, we just thought that we would focus our attention on the small business sector. What are some of the dangers that small businesses have had to, I guess, endure during this time? And what are some of the possible consequences that may occur because of the shutdown? And how do people actually perhaps ensure that they keep operating their businesses, or better prepare for another such black swan event? And to help us unpack some of the issues, we're joined by Lauren Duploy, who is a director at Ray & Associates and an Intuit QuickBooks trainer. Lauren, how are you?
Good. I feel like we've been in a bit of crisis mode the last 2 or 3 days, so I'm looking very forward to my bottle of wine when this podcast is done. I think we're feeling just as stressed as all the businesses out there. We're also a small business. We're a boutique firm, so we're feeling the crunch just like everybody else is. So just thank you for the opportunity to speak to you about some of my experiences.
If we may ask, I like the fact that you have brought up that you have a business that you're running. What sort of toll has the current situation taken? What steps are you taking? And, you know, do you anticipate that the shutdown will make things any worse? Or do you sort of anticipate that it will stay the same between what happened last week into the next month or so?
So I definitely, okay, a couple of questions there. So for our firm, we've been incredibly lucky that we are able to work remotely. So our team has been working remotely for the last 10 days already. So we were pretty set up and ready to go after the announcement from our president on Monday. We've definitely seen a shift in the last week. So a lot of our clients were getting prepared for this and were sort of winding down, sending all their high-risk staff home already last week. So a lot of them were getting ready. And then this week, we really just saw pandemonium hit. So I think that you're going to be organized when a crisis hits like this, and then it really hits and you realize, you know, there were a lot of other steps that you could be taking. So for us, this week, we've really been focused on assisting our clients, answering a lot of questions, just trying to be quite supportive with them and playing a role on how they can wind this up and get this done, you know, before the shutdown tomorrow. So, yeah, that's been my days the last, you know, 2 or 3 days.
We can only imagine. What does your business actually do?
So we are an accounting and bookkeeping firm that specializes in cloud accounting like QuickBooks. And then we offer advisory services to our clients. So we literally just handhold them through their whole aspect of their business. And, you know, that means that this is the time when they're going to be relying on our services the most, because from a financial perspective, this is crunch time.
So I guess on that end, what are some of the dangers that small businesses or businesses in general might perhaps suffer or be in line to suffer during this time? What have you seen from your clients? What are some of the challenges? What are some of the pain points?
Sure. So I think for us, we are lucky that we work with clients who have the same mindset as us. So a lot of them are very technically advanced. So they're running all their systems online. They're using cloud accounting software. They, you know, they're meeting stuff all online. So they're actually quite digital. So that's been quite easy. I think the biggest advice that I'm wanting to give my clients this week is that they don't want to be insignificant when this is over. So they need to make sure that if they can't function during the lockdown — some of our clients can, some of our clients are literally shutting the doors — but if they can't, to really take this opportunity to work on their business. We know historically that small business owners, owner-managed businesses, when do you have time between 1 o'clock and 2 o'clock in the morning to strategize and do, you know, your forecast for the next year? And I really think that this is an incredible opportunity for us to focus on what they want to achieve in their business in the next year. And a lot of our conversations with our clients have been around that. You know, we've got clients in the entertainment industry, in the food industry that are really, you know, very stressed out at the moment. But we're going to be strategizing with them and trying to refocus their efforts on how they can reopen with a bang. Because they don't want to be, you know, sitting around after the 21 days and be like, well, you know, now what? Now we've got to build our brand up again. And that's, I think that's really going to be a big thing that people are going to have to be aware of.
I guess that then begs the question, which types of businesses are you seeing, I guess, having the most impact, or have the impacts been different? Because some people will have like a product-based business, whereas others will be in the services sector, for example. How has that sort of played into some of these dynamics?
So I think that it's been different. I think that our product-based companies, clients, have been battling for long because where are they getting their products from? 90% of them are getting them from China. So they've been dealing with very low stock quantity since December already. So a lot of them have been dealing with those crises. So it's really not that this is something new. They've been battling to get stock for 4 months. So it's been really bad. Then the service industry and the entertainment industry and the restaurant industry, my heart breaks because I think a lot of people that are employed by the big restaurants, by the big, you know, in the entertainment industry are not highly paid staff. So, you know, those are the main breadwinners. I think that that's going to be affecting our economy the most going forward. That's what we're seeing with our clients. So I think I've seen a great push from our service industry clients this week. I had my house full of servicemen today, literally cleaning and doing and fixing and repairs and alarm, because I think they're trying to push as much as they can. And that's what I love about working with small businesses, is that they don't sleep. So they'll literally push to the last second tomorrow just to get in as much money as possible. So I think it's a bit of both. I think, you know, service industry really dealing with a lot of staff and how it's going to affect their households, and product industries are really reeling at the moment because they're not able to get products from overseas.
And then this whole thing of working remotely for those businesses that can, is that really helping? Like, are people really able to operate in that type of environment, or do you sort of see this period as a, let's shut our doors and go back to the drawing board, let's use this time to just perfect our business plans?
So I think it's both. I think for businesses that can work remotely, they are incredible at it. And they are, even if they weren't before, if they can work remotely, we've worked really hard this week to get them set up and giving them advice on what tools and apps to be using. So I think people, South Africans are hard workers. They don't want to sit around doing nothing. So if they can, that is the focus that they're doing. If they can't, they're looking at other ways. So they might not be able to work in their business, but they can work on their business and strategize for the next couple of months. For me, I think this working remotely is really going to change the way we do business in South Africa going forward. I've had two really interesting conversations with clients this week about how for the last 10 days they've worked remotely and it's been amazing. What are they paying rent for? What are they paying a telephone line for? Why would they go back to this office environment when they work so well remotely? And I'm talking about businesses that have got really 5 or less employees. That's been my experience this week. But I really think we're going to see a change in focus to how offices and businesses are set up. And I think that working remotely is going to be, I think it's going to be here to stay.
I have to say that I do agree with you that I think this, we could even call it a social experiment of people staying at home, is really going to fundamentally make people realize that bums on seats, it's not really something that's necessary, that a lot of productivity can still be achieved and done without people even stepping into an office.
Absolutely. I mean, our staff are saving collectively, let's just work out the numbers, but it's probably, so each staff member is saving an hour, maybe 2 hours a day traveling. Do you know what that means to productivity? We can get up in the morning. So we're pretty out there with our staff. So we do, I think what's really important when you're working remotely is to keep up staff morale, because the communication aspect is very hard when you work remotely. So we do fun things like we have lunch together on a Friday. with Zoom, and we're just all sitting around, we're chatting, we're catching up. We do exercise classes twice a week together early in the morning, and they're allowed to have their videos off if they want to, so we can just hear the noise. But I it's important, especially if you have staff that are single or that live alone. This can be very daunting. It can be very scary. I'm blessed. I have a family. I have a husband, a very busy daughter, 4 dogs. This house is crazy. So I never feel like I'm on my own. But I sympathize with people that are. And we have 80% of our staff live on their own. So we've had to make sure. Yeah, we've had to make sure that they still feel connected.
I also feel that one of the things that you're bringing up right now is, especially in this issue of working remotely, also brings to the fore employers or business people doing more to sort of care about the well-being of their staff. You know, checking on them. Are you okay? Because you can't see this person physically anymore.
No. And you have to work. I'm telling you, that's one of the things that you have to work the hardest at. So as important as it is for you to have your right app stack, that's really just trimmed down to the bare essentials and what really works well for your business. If you don't have the right people driving those apps, what is the point? And in order to have the right people driving those apps, they have to have they have to be mentally healthy, mentally well. They have to be in a good space. And we strive a lot with that with our staff. So we're a family business. My mom started the company about 17, 18 years ago, and we've got our husbands work in the business. But so we're very nurturing. So we spend a lot of time with our staff. We do group strategy sessions in the morning every morning at 9 o'clock. We're available free time from 3 to 5 in the afternoon for them to check up on us. These exercise classes are really cool. And now we've got a biokineticist that's going to do classes with us. So, you know, it's also just about teamwork. And I think that when your team are happy, they want to work with you. Our team could have said, you know, we on a lockdown, we don't need to work, but they would never have done that.
So I guess.
So we're very lucky.
So I guess outside of some of these new issues that are now coming up, what are things that people can actually do operationally that can help them either weather the storm or be better prepared for some of these unforeseen circumstances?
So I've got a few great points that I'd love to cover with you. The first thing is, when you're going to look at moving remotely, you have to have a plan in place. And in order to have that, you're going to need a few things. So you're going to need to have created a handbook. And this is going to be a go-to tool for your staff at any time when they've got a question about their expectations from them. It's going to cover like what kind of apps you're using, you know, what they're going to be using the apps for, all about technology and the systems, just to be able to streamline the process. I would always suggest you have a responsible leader that's going to lead this for you. So somebody that really believes that it can work, somebody that's going to be, you know, inspirational to your team and just drive it. This person is going to be the one that's going to continuously update your handbook. Your handbook is a work in progress because it also wants to discuss any pain points that your staff are experiencing and what the solutions to that can be. So your leader would be updating and would be responsible for your handbook. Communication is key. So I think you really have to have a very clearly defined communication plan. So as I've discussed, you should be having like daily meetings. For the first week, we had 2 daily meetings so that our staff just were really comfortable and eased into it. And I think that it doesn't always have to be a group session because sometimes people can feel intimidated talking like that. So we've got an open door policy from 3 to 5 in the afternoon. And myself and my partner are available if anybody needs to. We use Zoom, so they can Zoom us. It's also important to make sure that your staff are trained really well on the systems that you're wanting them to implement at home, and to make sure that they've got the computers and all the technology that they're going to need. So we had to make sure that all of our staff had really good internet access, because it was quite interesting that not all people have fiber at home.
Yes, that is very true. So, yes,
exactly. So, you know, then we started doing research on which data bundles are going to be the cheapest and, you know, the times that they're going to be working. So we had to make sure that they had fast enough laptops and internet. So you've got to make sure you're giving your staff the tools in order for them to do their job. And then this is the most important for me, is to outline clear expectations and learn to trust your staff. the change in the culture is very challenging, but as the staff are going to follow the leadership, so how are you behaving as business owners about the change? They're going to follow on. They're going to follow on to you, and it is scary. It is scary thinking, you know, are they going to be online from 8 to 5? Are they going to be available? But you know, we found that our staff, they might not work 8 to 5. They might work 9 to 6. They are getting their work done. They have got more free time. They are reaching their targets that we're setting for them for the week before the end of the week. We've noticed a huge increase in productivity since they've been working from home. My staff said to me yesterday, the one member, she catches the Gautrain to Midrand. So she catches a taxi, then goes to the Gautrain, then catches the Gautrain. She was spending 2 hours a day traveling. Gets home like absolutely exhausted. So for her, she's saving 2 hours a day. And what is she doing? She's giving it to herself and she's giving it to us.
That definitely does a lot to help, I guess, with staff morale and making sure that people are okay.
Absolutely. And that's why I said I have a feeling that this working remotely could be something that we're going to see companies carry on in the future.
Okay. I guess as we end off and round up the discussion, one of the things you've mentioned a couple of times is the apps and the systems that people are using. Of course, everyone isn't using Zoom. Others are using Skype. Others are using Microsoft Teams. What are some of the systems that you have implemented in your business? And what are some, I guess, ubiquitous ones that could help, I guess, almost any type of business?
So I think it's important to have a hero software. So for us, because we're an accounting firm, for us, we had to make sure that the accounting software that we're using was, we think, the best. So we use QuickBooks, Intuit QuickBooks Online. And from there, you build your stack for apps that work and, you know, link into your QuickBooks Online. So we use that for all of our accounting. It helps us as a firm just keep track of all of our clients because they fall under, you know, one umbrella. So we literally have a bird's eye view of what's going on in their business at all times. We then use Zoom for meetings. I love the app. We've never had any issues. And for instant messaging, we use Slack.
Okay.
Love Slack. Yeah, it's a really cool. Yeah. It's a really cool app to use. You can have like a group discussion. You can have direct conversations, which are obviously private. So we use that. And that's actually it. I mean, we use like internal stuff, which is not relevant. But that's why I said to you at the beginning, I think it's important when you start working remotely to just minimize your app stack to the bare necessities of what you need to run your business so that you're not expecting them to be running 10 or 15 different softwares. It's going to be crazy. So you just want to run one that can help them do their work and then communication ones over and above that.
Mm. That's actually some good advice. So that's been us with Lauren Duploy, who is a director at Ray & Associates and at Intuit Quick, and is also an Intuit QuickBooks trainer, just giving us some tips and tricks around what it means to be a small business during this time of national disaster, and also just telling us that if you're going to be working remotely, there are a couple of things that can be done, such as creating a handbook, making sure that you select a responsible leader, someone who is there motivating the people, have a communication place and plan. And most importantly, she's saying that you need to outline some clear expectations and learn how to trust your staff. Lauren, how can people get in touch with you?
So our website is www.rae.za.com. They're more than welcome to pop on there. It's got all our details, all our handles.
Okay, cool. So as you heard, that's been it. As I said, we're with Lauren Duploy from Ray & Associates. Thank you so much. And that's been it for today's show. Thank you for joining us, Lauren.
Thank you for having me. That was great.
This is Mudiwa's Take.
If there's one thing I definitely agree with when it comes to the issue of remote working. And this one is not necessarily affecting just small businesses, but just the work culture as a whole, is that remote working is fundamentally going to change the way that people think about coming into the office, or what it means to actually work in an office environment. The last week, I've actually engaged with a couple of corporate executives, and they were actually talking about the fact that a lot of people are working from home already. But what was interesting is that a couple of the firms that I have spoken to, particularly the ones that have an international presence or are American based or from Europe, for example, and have a branch in South Africa, a lot of those companies already have a work at home policy and already have investments in your online collaboration tools, your communication tools, video conferencing, all of those things. And such businesses, you can probably tell that such businesses already have some of the things that Lauren was talking about, the leader, the handbook, because a lot of businesses at the moment are sort of suffering because all of these decisions are coming sort of off the cuff. There's an announcement that you've got a national disaster, people should stay at home. Okay, now you're reacting, saying people stay at home, but you've never had to do it before. So, you know, how do you do it? How does that affect your revenue as a business? How do you ensure that people working at home doesn't offset whatever gains you are making by an increase in your cost base, because now you have to pay for things like data, etc. But the other thing that then comes in is the fact that people just need to be prepared for some of these situations. And in the way that things are going to change, one of the things I do suspect is that we might see South Africa, at least, I'm not sure about the rest of the world, but corporate South Africa, after this period is done, we might see ourselves with more companies implementing a 3 or 4 day work week and allowing people to work from home at least 2 days in 2 days in a month. And another thing will be hot desking, right? Because hot desking, any business, especially if you're a small business, you can actually, like what Lauren was talking about, a lot of businesses are now saying to themselves, if I don't have to go into the office, if my people don't need to come here, what am I paying rent for? Why are we providing all of these different facilities? You might even start thinking about hosting your company or having your company at a shared working space like a WeWork, for example, just so that people have somewhere that they can meet with clients or perhaps meet as a team every once in a while. So, very interesting conversation. Definitely enjoyed it. Small businesses are going through the most, particularly services industry, hospitality, restaurants, etc. Hoping that everyone out there is doing their part. And one of the conversations we had last week, a lot of businesses are turning towards, apart from people who are just working online, people are also distributing their product online. So it'll also be good to see how small businesses are able to be agile and shift their business models to cope with the times. So that's been it for this edition of the Business Day Spotlight. Remember that you can find our latest podcasts on Business Live. That's under the podcast Business Day Spotlight tab. And then on Twitter, we're #BDSpotlight. And remember that you can also review and subscribe for free on iono.fm, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Pocket Casts, or wherever you choose to get your pods casted. Thank you to our amazing team. Our producer is Paige Muller. I've been Murio Gavaza of the Business Day and Financial Mail. And this has been another edition of the Business Day Spotlight, which is a multimedia live production. So for myself and the rest of the team, it is good evening, good afternoon, and good morning.